All right. Well, this is an exciting week that we're entering into. This is our 13th annual Global Impact Celebration that we'll be having starting this Thursday. I want to say to you, church, that to me, this conference represents everything that we want to be about as a church. In my mind, this week is the most important week on our church calendar. It's at this conference, at this time of the year, where we come together and we renew our focus on the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus is to see his gospel preached, the good news of the gospel preached in every corner of the earth, in our city, in our nation, and right to the furthest places on the planet. That's what we want to be about as a church. It's who we've been about and who we must continue to be about. And so this conference that we have is the conference where we really renew that focus and that vision and that purpose. Church, I believe that if we are not committed to the mission of Jesus, we've lost our way. We should close up the doors. Everything that we do and everything that we are needs to be about the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. It's only the gospel of Jesus that can change our lives. We've been talking a lot about living our call over the last few months. God has called each and every one of us to partner with him in some capacity to see his mission and his purposes fulfilled. I believe that Jesus wants every person to know his love, to know his forgiveness, to be healed, to be transformed in every area of their lives. And we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to be his voice to the world. And so this conference is a call to participate in this mission. It's a time of impartation. It's a time of renewal of vision. It's a time of recommitment to God. It's a time of realigning our focus with the heartbeat of God. It's also a great celebration. It's a celebration because throughout the conference, we're going to look back at all that God has done through us and in partner, and as we've partnered with other people around the world, and as we hear their stories and see what's happened. It's a great time to celebrate and to worship God. I can't stress enough to you the importance of coming and being a part of this week. If you can come to all of it, awesome. If you can only come to one thing, come to one thing, but do everything in your power to take in as many aspects of this week as you can if you consider Harvest City to be your church home. And one of the main aspects of the weekend happens right here next Sunday when we take up what we call our faith commitment offering. And I want to just spend my time this morning talking to you about this faith commitment offering in preparation for what is going to happen. I want to talk to you about it because even though it's something that we've done for, well, what will be 13 years, we have many people that are new to our church in the last number of years, and this year God's growing us, prospering us, and it's really important to me that you catch the vision of who we are as a church and what we're about and what this whole faith commitment offering is about. I also want to refresh those of you who've been here for 13 years. I want to refresh your minds as to why we do what we do and what this is really for. Sometimes these things get fuzzy in our minds over time and we forget why these things are so important. So what is this faith commitment offering all about? The faith commitment offering that we're going to take next Sunday is an offering that we take here at Harvest City Church for the sole purpose of funding the missions outreach of our church. It's the offering that is the thrust of seeing the good news of the gospel preached in our city and the nations of the world. Through Global Focus, which is a program that we have here at the church, we have identified partners. And we are working with these partners to see the kingdom of God advanced all around the globe. And part of that partnership involves financially contributing to the work of the ministry that they're involved in. Church, there is no way to fulfill the great commitment of Jesus of making disciples in every nation without finances being committed. Do you realize that? Living our call often requires resources. As many of you know, I'm personally involved in a ministry of our church called LIFT. It's a ministry that's involved in preaching the gospel through crusade evangelism and other things in Africa at this point, in Uganda mainly, although this June we're branching out into South Sudan by the grace of God. God has done amazing things through this ministry. Many of you are a part of it and have traveled with me and come with me and helped in sharing the gospel in various forms. This June, we have, I think, 25 people who are going into Uganda. It's going to be amazing. And every year, we come back and we have great stories to share of the power of God, of communities that have been impacted, lives that have been changed, and the impact is enormous. It's growing. But I want to say to you that there would be no stories without generous people. Without generous people that are contributing to this work. Without partnerships, there's not a whole lot that can be accomplished. And God has different roles for each and every one of us to play. But as we come together, and this is what we've been talking about, as we come together and as each one of us partners together and does our part, amazing things happen. And we have some incredible partners through Global Focus. These partners are gifted in so many incredible ways, but without resources, those gifts would not be released. And this is what the faith commitment offering is all about. It enables these gifts to be utilized. It allows us as a church to reach more people with the gospel than would otherwise be possible. It allows us to come alongside of some incredible people and help them fulfill their call and be more effective in what God has called them to do. You know, church, I believe that part of our call, part of us living our call as a church, is partnering with other people so that they can do what God has called them to do. It's part of our call. And I want to say this to you, that the call, as we've been talking about, it looks so different for each and every one of us. Some of you, you know that God's main call in your life is coming along somebody else and helping them live their call. When I look at Barnabas in Scripture, Barnabas was the man who dug out Saul and really supported him and encouraged him and caused others to believe in him. Barnabas was a catalyst in the Apostle Paul living his call. And I believe that many times that's what God has for us. God will place a ministry. God will place a person on our hearts. And we see this gifting and we see this potential and we see this calling. And then God comes and he calls to us and says, I want you to help them fulfill their call. I want to say to you that one of the biggest supporters that we have for LIFT in this church is a businessman. And he came to me one day with tears in his eyes and he said, I know that I'm not called to preach the gospel with my mouth, but I feel a call to for evangelism, and God has blessed me in my business. And he begins to cry and he shared with me this vision that he had. And he said, Joel, I see you on the front lines and of this war and the bullets are flying. And he said, I see myself running between the supply shed and you and supplying you with ammo. And he said, I believe that God has called me to supply you with ammo, as you're on the front lines. I've been called to support you in this ministry. He's got tears running down his face as he's telling me, this is my call. He's one of the biggest contributors that we have to the ministry. Every time I come back, I say, see these crowds, see these people. It's because of you that I can stand and preach the gospel. These souls coming into the kingdom of God, these are your souls. They're yours. You celebrate just as much as me. It's this partnership that's allowed it to happen. And I believe that God has placed these partners strategically with us. And they help us fulfill our call, and we help them fulfill their call. And together, something amazing happens.
Well, when do we take this faith commitment offering? The faith commitment offering is taken, as I mentioned, next Sunday morning. It happens right at the conclusion of the Global Impact Celebration. And we call it a faith commitment offering because we're not expecting you to necessarily give all that you plan to give on the Sunday of the Global Impact Celebration. Although you certainly can. We call it a faith commitment offering because what you're going to do next Sunday is you're going to make a faith commitment to the Lord. It's to God. It's not to me. It's not to Harvest City Church. You're making a commitment to the Lord that you believe you'll be able to give a particular sum of money over the course of next year. I want to be very clear to you at this point and say to you that nobody from the church will be following up on you. Nobody's going to come to you in November and say and give you a phone call and say, you committed last April that you are going to give $1,000, and so far we've only seen $100. Come on. Pony up. Do what you said you're going to do. Nobody's going to do that. You ask anybody who's been in this church for 12 years, we haven't done it. Have we, church? We haven't done it. Because you're not making a commitment to me, and you're not making a commitment to the church, even to the partners. You're making a commitment to Jesus. You answer to Him. It's between you and God. I don't know what everybody commits. I don't want to know. It's not my business to know. Now, I'll tell you that the accounting staff does keep a record of the commitment, and we only do it for this reason. Because lots of times at about November or September or even at this time of the year, somebody will go, oh man, the year has almost come to an end. And how much have I given? What did I say that I was going to give again? Some of you forget. You don't write these things down. You don't track too well. And so our office staff, they know. I don't know. They know. And they can help you. But they won't be calling you. Nobody will ever call you. You might ask, well, what is the purpose of the commitment? Why do we do it this way? Why don't we just do it all in one Sunday and be done with it? Well, the reason we do it is that it allows you an opportunity to plan. It allows us also as a church, as a Global Focus executive, to sort of determine where we should spend the money. It allows us to work with our partners and giving them an idea of how much money they can expect from us and when they can expect it by. It gives you time to budget for the money, in some cases to work to raise it. If you're asking, well, is there a biblical basis for collecting an offering this way? There is. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, you'll see the story of Paul challenging the church in Corinth to make a special offering for the needy believers in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem believers were very poor. They're struggling. Paul makes their need aware, and he tells the Corinthian church, he challenges them to collect an offering to help them. And he sends representatives ahead of him to help the Corinthians prepare for the offering and to prepare for their commitments that they had made. Later, Paul was going to come and he was actually going to receive the offering. But there was this time of preparation. And each year, we establish a rough budget. As a Global Focus executive, we do the budget based on, we have all our partners send to us their needs and their projects and the things that they're believing God for. And man, some of our partners have big faith and big vision, let me tell you. And so we look at all the needs and we kind of wrestle together as an executive of where we think the priorities are and how we can sort of carve up the pie to the best of our ability. And we determine a budget. And this year, our budget is $230,000. That's what we're hoping to raise. 13 years ago, our very first budget was $75,000. And we thought we had big faith in those days. And that first year, I think we raised $150,000. And then the next year, we were over $200,000. And we've been over $200,000 every year since. I think in your bulletin this morning, you were given a copy of the budget. Here it is right here. And so you can, I'm not going to take the time to go through it, but you can see each one of our partners and what we're believing God that we're going to be able to give them in for their ministry. So have a look at that bulletin insert and you can see that there. So we tell our partners how much that they're going to receive, but we tell them it's dependent on how much we raise. If we raise $230,000, this is how much you're going to get. If we raise $200,000 and we're $30,000 short, then we're going to have to claw back a little bit. But by the grace of God, we've never had to claw back ever in 12 years. We usually give them a phone call and say, we got a little bit more. How can we help you spend it? This past year, we had a budget of the same budget last year of $230,000. And initially, I think on the Sunday, we had close to $230,000 that was committed. But we always have more that comes in the weeks after because some of you can't be here, etc. And ended up that we've had $249,000 that was committed. And as of last Friday, we've raised almost $241,000. We're about $8,000 to go to make all those commitments, which is awesome. If you're still wanting to or planning to make a contribution for last year, you have until basically Saturday at midnight, I guess, of this week to do that. And then everything that comes in from next Sunday on will go to our 2019-2020 budget. So where does the money go? Well, all the money that's raised will go directly to the work of our ministry partners, the projects that they are involved in, and other projects that we as a church leadership and Global Focus Executive believe will be effective in reaching our world for Christ. None of the money raised through the faith commitment offering goes towards our local church budget at all. We take up an offering every Sunday. We did one today. It's that offering that we take up every Sunday and those contributions that go towards paying church salaries and maintenance on the building and everything that has to do with Harvest City Church. But the faith commitment offering, none of that money has anything to do with the operations of Harvest City Church. Every dollar that comes in goes out. Every dollar comes into our hands, we release it to see the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in our city and the nations of the world. Every single dollar. That's why I can be so bold in asking you for money. Because it doesn't go to me, it doesn't go to this church, it goes to mission. The mission of Jesus Christ. Sometimes throughout the year, there might be like a Christmas relief fund at Christmas where we'll come to you for money. Or sometimes if there's something unusual like an earthquake or something that happens in the world and lives are devastated, we might come to you at that time and say, if anybody wants to contribute, we're going to collect something special. But our promise has been to you over the years, we're not going to nickel and dime you every month and every week and coming to you for money. We do it once a year. Once a year, this is it. This is the big offering that funds everything we do in regards to mission. As I mentioned, you can give it all that you want to give next Sunday, or you can do it over the air. For me, I like to budget. And so we make a commitment, or we say, here's the total that we're going to give, and Angie and I, we give a certain amount every month. It just comes automatically out of our push pay account right there into Global Focus. And many of you do the same. It's totally up to you. All the money that comes in goes into one pot, and the Global Focus Executive determines the need and where to distribute it. So next week, you might really love Francis and his wheelchair ministry, and you're going to be blessed and inspired by this guy this week as you hear his story. Amazing guy. And some of you, everything inside of you is going to be, I want to give all my money to him. But what we're telling you is that every dollar that comes in goes into one pot. And as a Global Focus executive, we divide up the pie. Okay? And as you can see on the budget, but even as more comes in, we hear the needs and we wrestle with that. And we're asking you to trust us that we will get that money to where we feel it's needed the most. Okay? Make sense? All right. So why should you participate? Why should I participate? This is really the question. Why should we be a part of this? Well, I want to say this to you. As a pastor, as a Christian, I believe that generosity and love should be the center of who we are. It should define us as believers. The God we serve is a loving God. He's a giving God, and he is extravagant in his generosity. He's extravagant in his love. John 3:16, the most famous scripture perhaps in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave his own son. You can't be more extravagant in generosity than that. He's a generous God. And I don't believe that you can be a true disciple of Jesus Christ without having this same heart of generosity inside of you. If you don't have a generous spirit, you need more of God. Because God is generous. And the Spirit of God inside of you is a generous spirit. Our God is a God who has a heart for the poor and the needy. The scripture says that he came to preach good news to the poor. The scripture says that he lifts the poor and he lifts the needy from the ashes and he places them with princes. If we are disciples of Jesus, then we must have the same passion. In fact, it is this heart that earns God's approval. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans, to look after widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so we see that the true religion is more than just separating ourselves from the world. Yes, that's part of it, and living a life that's pleasing to God, but true religion manifests itself in love expressed in caring for the poor and the needy and the broken and the hurting. We see it all through Scripture. In the Old Testament, we see God's heart for the poor and needy and that he judged and rebuked those who neglected them. Ezekiel tells us that one of the great sins of Sodom, you remember Sodom and Gomorrah where God rained down hailstones and brimstone and fire upon them? He judged and rebuked them, and one of the reasons Ezekiel tells us that God did that was that they did not help the poor and the needy. Isaiah, in his prophecy to the nation of Israel, challenged them on trying to look righteous while, in fact, they were ignoring the plight of those around them. And he declared this to be an abomination. He said, you're trying to look righteous and do all these great things, but you are not looking after the poor and needy. And this is an abomination towards God. And he said these words to them. And I want you to listen to these words because they should challenge us at the core of who we are. He said in Isaiah 58, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud, don't be timid. This is what God is saying to Isaiah. Shout at the people of Israel and don't hold back. Tell my people Israel of their sins, exclamation point. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every Sunday. And they seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending that they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I'll tell you why. This is God with an exclamation point. It's because you are fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me, God says. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want, God says. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Do you want the protection of God upon you? Then be generous. Then when you call on the Lord, do you want the Lord to answer you? Be generous. Look after the poor and the needy and the hurting and the broken, and he will quickly reply, "Here I am, you called. I'm listening, you've got my ear." Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your fingers and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually. You want the Lord's guidance? Help the poor and needy. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Isn't this incredible? God says, "This is what I'm after. I'm not just looking for hands raised on a Sunday morning. I'm looking for something authentic. I'm looking for something real. This is the fasting that I want. I want to see a people that are generous, that give themselves to the poor and the needy and the homeless and the broken. And I promise you, I hear their prayers and I come to protect them and I come to help them and I refresh them and I pour out my blessing upon them." Church, the ministry partners that we are supporting are involved in reaching the poor and the needy and the broken. They are ministries that are centered around the command of Jesus to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. They are ministries that come right out of the heart of God. We've already talked about how in the book of Corinthians, we're told the story of how Paul was going around and collecting contributions for the believers in Jerusalem who were very poor. And as Paul explained the need, the Corinthian church initially responded with great enthusiasm. They said, "Yeah, we're going to help. We're going to do this." And Paul sent people ahead of him to go and make the arrangements and to begin to collect the offering that was pledged. And Paul challenges them, "Keep the commitment that you made." And in his challenge to them, he gives them and he gives us some clear reasons as to why we should participate. In case we still need some convincing. This is what he said to the Corinthians. He said, "Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. We don't want to twist your arm. We're not coming after you. Be a cheerful giver, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. Though they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your seed, your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So why should we participate? Based on these verses, number one, you will reap what you sow. Paul promises us that if we will be generous, that we will also reap generously. In verse 8, he declares that God will make his grace abound to us so that we will have all that we need. In other words, Paul is challenging us to take a step of faith. He's challenging us to believe that if we are faithful to give, that God will be faithful to look after us in return. He promises us that if we are faithful to give, that we will reap a harvest as well. Verse 10 and 11 tell us that as we give and pour out, God will supply and increase our seed and enlarge our harvest and give us more so that we can be even more generous and even more fruitful. There's a great principle at work here that Paul is describing to these Corinthians. It's this principle: you can't outgive your God. You can't outgive your God. And we have proven this in our own church. We have given away more money in the last 12 years than ever before in the history of the church. If we hit our targets this time, we're going to be right around that $3 million given through Global Focus. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. We've given away more money than ever. And yet, all our bills are still paid for here at Harvest City Church. We've paid every bill in the last 12 or 13 years. We've built a $2.5 million addition and paid cash for it. We've had a commitment to try and raise the salary levels of our staff who sacrificed for many years and get them up to an acceptable level. And every year we've been able to do just a little bit more and a little bit more. We've been able to hire staff and add additional staff, which has helped us grow. And we've paid every one of those bills. Sometimes, like this last year in November and December, we're looking and going, man, we are $80,000 behind in our tithes and offerings, what we believe God for. And yet somehow when we get to December 31st, it's all there. It's all there. And we can say that as we have sowed into the nations, that God has given us a harvest, that he has proven his word, he's been faithful. And I want to say to you that the blessing that comes with generosity is more than just a financial blessing. It's so much more than that. If it's like, well, if I give 10 bucks, God will make sure I get that 10 bucks back. He might not. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I believe in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And sometimes I've given money and I've seen God give back to me way more than I ever gave. And sometimes I've given sacrificially and he says, thank you very much. and I get a pat on the back, and that's it. But God blesses us in so many ways. Notice what he said here again in verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, when we are generous, God pours out his blessing in every area. In every area. And when I look at what's happening in Harvest City Church these days and seeing the growth and the people that are coming through the doors and the lives that are being changed and the lives that are being transformed and the people that are being inspired to go live their call and seeing this army that God is raising up in this city and people going and being sent and all these things that are happening and the enlargement that's happening, I say, God, you have blessed us. As we've sowed into the nations and as we've given sacrificially, you have poured out your blessing upon us. And church, we must keep this as our culture. This must remain vital to who we are. We must be a generous church. It must define us as individuals and define us as a church. God loves cheerful givers. And he blesses. And so next Sunday is going to be fun. Because we are giving back to God what he's worthy of. And sown in the mission of Jesus. Proverbs 2:29 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Proverbs 28:27 says, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Psalms 112:5, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Why should you give? Well, it shows our love for the Lord. It's another way to worship him. Paul wasn't arm-twisting the Corinthians. He told them to give out of their hearts. They weren't to give reluctantly or because they were being forced to. He wanted them to give with great joy because God loves it when we do. He says in verse 12 that their giving was an expression of thanks to God. Church, God has given us so much. He's given us so much. And when we give it back to him, we do it as worship. We do it as thanksgiving. I believe that our giving is one of the most powerful expressions of worship. I believe it's more powerful than you raising your hands in the air. When you give, you're saying, God, you're my treasure. My treasure's not caught up in the things of this world. I'm living for you and for your glory and for your purposes. It's where my treasure is. I think it's the greatest expression of lordship. Number three, it shows that our confession of the gospel is true. In verse 13, Paul says that men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession. James tells us that faith without works is dead. Where there is true faith, good works should be coming from our lives. When we give generously, our actions preach what our mouth is declaring. Church, God is growing us in many ways. And I truly believe, and I hear this often, why is our church growing? I believe it's because people are coming to this church and they are seeing a true expression of faith. That's what they're seeing. They come through the doors here and they go, there's an authenticity here. These people are who they say they are. They do what they say they're going to do. They're not just putting on a show on a Sunday morning. They actually live out their faith. They're generous. They're kind. They're giving. They're outreach focused. They're mission focused. It's this kind of authenticity that the world is looking for. Actions speak louder than words. And finally, why should we participate? For the great joy of seeing others blessed. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was exhorting the Corinthians about the great joy that the believers in Jerusalem were going to have. He's like, man, when this offering gets to them. He declares in verse 13 and 14 that those believers would be praying for the Corinthians and they would be praising God as a result. He declared that their hearts would go towards them. This week, when we hear from our ministry partners about what God has done because of our generosity, as they share their thankfulness with us, I promise you there's going to be great joy and there's going to be great satisfaction in our hearts. You see, there is no joy greater than knowing that others are blessed because of you. And as they rejoice in what God has done, we rejoice because we know we had a part to play in it. So who should participate? Everyone should. Anyone who feels led by the Holy Spirit to do so. Anyone who has a heart to touch the poor, the needy, the orphan. Anyone who wants to be a part of seeing the kingdom of God advanced around the world. Young people, this is not just an adult thing. You don't have to be 20 years older or older in order to be able to participate. How about now? Can you give 10 bucks? You're working at McDonald's and don't have a lot of extra money? How about 5? Come on. Come on. It's not the amount, it's the heart. It's the heart. It's saying, God, this is all I got. This is all I can give, and maybe even a little bit more, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to give back to you because you're so worthy of it. Come on. The old and the young, let's all participate. Next Sunday, we have an opportunity to share in the collection of an offering that will fund great ministries that are advancing the kingdom of God locally, nationally, and internationally. This offering is going to contribute to both physical needs and spiritual needs. And I want to challenge you and I want to ask you, over the course of these next 7 days, be in prayer and ask the Lord, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give? That amount is going to be different for each and every one of you. But give what you can. Ask God to give you a heart to store up heavenly treasure and the faith to believe that He will provide for your needs as you freely give. Let's believe God for a spirit of generosity to come upon us. Amen? All right, why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? You know, when we get extra, we spend it, hey? And we can do additional things. Let me give you an example, just some recent things. Morningstar comes to us and says, our cupboards are bare. We have so many people coming from the community that need food. And we've done different things before where we've helped and done collections. But this last time, it was very easy to say, no problem, Glenn. I can't remember if we gave them 1,500 or 2,000, something like that, and just said, go buy the food that you need, because we've got extra. More was given than the 230 that we planned. We had a certain amount of money that was designated to help different individuals that can apply in this church. If you feel called to do something for God, we've got a little part of the budget where you can make an application, and we help people a little bit, the best that we can, up to $500, And all that money was, we've had so many people going out of this church and making application that we had maxed it out. But we got like 25 people going to Uganda in June, and we had some that went to Zambia, and Diane and Todd are going to Cuba, and just different things like that have been happening. And we've been able to say, you know what, we got extra resources. Let's help these people go and live their call. It's been awesome to do that. Different times we call up those partners and say, we heard you had this need. We can help with that because we've got extra. Let's be extravagant, church. Let's be generous. Father, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for your blessing upon us. We thank you, O God, that you have proven your word to us. That as we've been generous for 12 years, you have poured out your blessing upon us in so many ways. And God, we want to grow in our generosity. Lord, we want to grow in it. And God, I pray for us as individuals. I pray for my own heart, oh God. Father, as generous as I've been, I know that I can grow in my generosity. And God, there's something about money that our fingers are just attached to it. But God, I pray you would pry our fingers off of it. God, I pray that we would live for you and you alone, that we would see our lives in light of eternity. And God, that we would become good stewards of all that you've given us. And we would give our lives and our resources to that which matters the most. God, help us change our hearts. Give us that same heart of generosity that you have. Lord, let us be cheerful givers. I pray, Lord, the next Sunday we would laugh hilariously as we drop our donations into that pot, oh God. And Father, we pray that you would multiply every dollar. Every dollar, we pray that it would multiply and have greater impact and greater effect, that every dollar that we give would see lives transformed and these ministries would come back and say, something's happened this year. Something has happened that there's just a grace upon us that we've never had before. God, we pray for the multiplication to happen this year in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for those that are given sacrificially. God, would you bless them? Would you pour out your blessing upon them? Oh God, that we could be even more generous in the days and years to come. Father, we continue to lift up our needs before you. God, as we give out, Lord God, would you meet our needs according to your riches and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, church.